I've had the privilege of serving at just about all the youth camps for about 18 years, except for a few. Of course, getting older, my wife and I hasn't really done much of that much anymore. Along that line, Eloise and her brothers have been doing it, along with their other family members, for over 20 years. What motivates people to volunteer each year at these youth camps? Even at here, and of course, the upcoming feast, for that matter. I believe it's two basic attitudes. I'm going to cover each one. Two basic attitudes. Wanting to serve is number one, and encouraging the youth is number two. Of course, it's not just the youth. It can be anyone. So I'm going to break down these two topics of encouraging and serving. Thus my topic title, if you're interested in that. An encouraging servant. I'll start with encouraging. One of the well-known people of the New Testament whose name means encourager, of course you know what I'm going to say, Barnabas. So let's start off in Acts 11. Acts mentions him in Acts 11, verses 22 and 23. So we'll start there. A definition to encourage is, of course, to inspire, to promote, or with confidence. Many who were not the apostles also proclaimed the word and good news of Jesus around Antioch and converted many Greeks. The happy occasion of those converted got back to the Jerusalem church. And in hearing of this good news, they sent Barnabas to confirm. So it seems then that the church had power to commission and send any of its own members whom it saw God had qualified for a particular work. So in Acts 11, verses 22, then news of these things came to the ears of the church in Jerusalem, and they sent out Barnabas to go as far as Antioch. When he came and had seen the grace of God, he was glad and encouraged them all that with purpose of heart they should continue with the Lord. For he was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and of faith, and a great many people were added to the Lord. Part of Barnabas' character was kind, generous, and charitable. What was Barnabas encouraging people about? Well, part was to remain true to the teachings of Christ. This included incentives to, of course, keep the faith, have hope in what? Christ's return. Love one another and help each other. It was an attitude to be encouraged to serve. If you see someone needing help, especially of your fellow brethren, jump in and help. If you can't, encourage someone. I remember Eloise's brother, and many of you know Mr. Lynn Pate up in Tacoma. He did this pretty well. Keep in mind that it is difficult for him because of many of you know about his injury he had many years ago. But, of course, for Mr. Pate, that didn't stop him. He, like many of us, are getting older and harder to help out and volunteer. So what does he do now? He contributes, because of his health and physique, by encouraging others. How? Well, here's an example. I myself am getting a bit older, and of course my back isn't all that great, being a small guy compared to many people. But when I was on the sound crew up in Tacoma, I tried to pick up a heavy portable piano. Now, we have a portable piano here that you all know about. It's pretty good. The one we have in Tacoma was probably twice as heavy as that one. And I usually had to pick it up from storage and put it back. But Mr. Pate seen me struggling, and of course he can't help me out, so he goes around and asks probably one of his five boys or a volunteer to come over and help. That's encouragement. And of course, for me, appreciate it. And of course, many of you probably know the Pate boys. They're not exactly small. Well, besides Barnabas, the Apostle Paul gave some sound Christian advice regarding encouragement. Let's jump to 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians 5. Paul was speaking to the Thessalonians that they should watch and pray for Christ's return. And in the meantime, they are to comfort and edify each other, of which he gave examples. So in 1 Thessalonians 5, verses 11 through 14. Therefore, comfort each other and edify one another, just as you also are doing. And we urge you, brethren, to recognize those who labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake. Be at peace among yourselves. Now we exhort you, brethren, warn those who are unruly, comfort the faint-hearted, uphold the weak, be patient with all. The New English Translation and others rendered comfort in verse 11 as encourage, or encourage one another. Edification used here is not only to build up each other, but it also edifies God. It's a spiritual uplift, which God, of course, is well pleased with. And of course, this is even a policy at camp. No one is to be put down, have negative comments, or be criticized or criticizing others. And this, of course, is opposite of what Paul is saying, in that we should strive to build up and not tear down. That's encouraging. The second one, now for serving. Let's define what servanthood is. One version I found is servanthood is the state, condition, or quality of one who lives as a servant. A form of servanthood is servitude. The dictionary defines it as slavery or bondage of any kind. Well, here's a great example. An example in the Old Testament. It is Abraham's servant. Commentators believe the name of this servant was Eliezer. So let's pick up this instance in Genesis. Genesis 24. Genesis 24, starting with verse 9. It was during the time of Abraham's old age. He was blessed by God in everything. Abraham wanted to find a wife for his son Isaac, but had to be one who is of the same tribe or kinsman. Not toward his instructions, but toward God's instructions. Per God's instructions. It was so important that Abraham wanted his servant to promise by an oath to find a wife for Isaac based on specific instructions from God. So in Genesis 24, Verses 9. So the servant put his hand under the thigh of Abraham, his master, and swore to him concerning this matter. Then the servant took 10 of his master's camels and departed, for all his master's goods were in his hand. And he rose and went to Mesopotamia, to the city of Nahor. And he made his camels kneel down outside the city by a well of water at evening time, the time when women go out to draw water. In verse 12, then he said, O Lord God of my master Abraham, please give me success this day and show kindness to my master Abraham. Notice in verse 9 the type of oath that was given. Many commentators have been puzzled of this form and of oath. It was a form of binding the oath between the involved parties. Adam Clark's commentary says that he put his hand on the part that bore the mark of circumcision, which of course is a sign of God's covenant. In essence, he was making an oath not only to Abraham, but to God himself. Quite serious in this case. It showed the seriousness in keeping with the sanctity of the family and continuation of that family line. I would say that this servant was not only devoted, but reliable. The dedication of this servant of Abraham did find, of course, a wife for Isaac. What's also interesting is what the girl did that pleased Abraham's servant, Eleazar. Let's continue on, verses 17 of Genesis 24. Verses 17 through 21. And the servant ran to meet her and said, please let me drink a little water from your pitcher. So she said, drink, my lord. Then she hastened and let her pitcher down to her hand and gave him a drink. And when she had finished giving him a drink, she said, I will draw water for your camels also, until they have finished drinking. Verse 20. Then she hastened and emptied her pitcher into the trough, ran back to the well to draw water, and drew for all his camels. And the man, wondering at her, remained silent so as to know whether the Lord had made his journey prosperous or not. It would be an enormous test, or more like, in this case, a workout, for a young woman to water all 10 of this servant's camels as well. Rebecca must have been a very hard worker with a heart for serving others. Her willingness to make a trip after trip after trip from the well to go through carrying heavy jars filled with water speaks highly of her industrious, and the fact that she ran back to the well to draw more water. She hurried, ironically, to serve a servant. She was demonstrating a servant's heart, that she will be a good wife and serve God. I look at this as a basic attitude of wanting to help. Kind of like Mr. Pate. He wanted to help. Even though he was limited, he found other ways. Eloise and I attended the leadership workshop held at the home office last year, first week of September. And many of the speakers spoke on, of course, various topics, leadership topics, such as a leader is a disciple, defending the faith, and of course, one on heart of a servant. Found interesting. The speaker brought up one of his points about Abraham Lincoln, who seemed to have a natural charisma to lead and speak. Yet at the same time, Lincoln seemed to use inspirational words to inspire, influence, serve, and encourage people, especially during the times of the Civil War. One of my personal motivations in the capacity of volunteering and to serve is the responses I've gotten from people. For example, years ago, living up there up north in Tacoma area, I volunteered as a tech tutor at a couple of the King County libraries up north. I taught a 2-hour class in Microsoft Word and PowerPoint and Excel to some of these people, and of course many of these people were senior citizens, trying to understand computers and, of course, the software part. And, of course, besides that, it was free. I just volunteered my time. But I enjoyed the responses while I was teaching the class there at the library. I've heard a few of them sometimes say that it finally clicked in their mind. Or when they try it, they get this big smile and saying, "Oh, this is cool." So I see from the smile and the response that they're understanding. It makes me feel good that I know that I'm apparently, hopefully, teaching something right that they understand. And of course, it brings a smile to my face as well. That's my reward. And I hope God is pleased that it brings a smile to his face as well. So, Joseph was another ancient servant that showed examples of proper attitude of serving. Let's go ahead in Genesis 39. Let's pick up his story, Genesis 39, verses 1 through 10. Joseph had been taken down to Egypt at this time to be sold as a slave by the Ishmaelites. He was brought by an Egyptian officer named Potiphar. And we can see Joseph's attitude on how he served Potiphar. Genesis 39, verses 1. Now Joseph had been taken down to Egypt, and Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, captain of the guard, an Egyptian, bought him from the Ishmaelites who had taken him down there. The Lord was with Joseph, and he was a successful man, and he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. And his master saw that the Lord was with him, and that the Lord made all he did to prosper in his hand. So Joseph found favor in his sight and served him. Then he made him overseer of his house and all that he had put in his hand. So it was, from the time that he had made him overseer of his house and all that he had, that the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake, and the blessings of the Lord was on all that he had in the house and in the field. Verse 6, so he left all that he had in Joseph's hand, and he did not know what he had except for the bread which he ate, and Joseph was handsome in form and appearance. Now it came to pass after these things that his master's wife cast longing eyes on Joseph, and she said, "Lie with me." But he refused and said to his master's wife, "Look, my master does not know what is with me in the house, and he has committed all that he has to my hand. There is no one greater in this house than I, nor has he kept back anything from me but you, because you are his wife. How then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God?" So it was, as he spoke to Joseph day by day, as she spoke to Joseph day by day, that he did not heed to her, to lie with her, or to be with her. And in that, analyzing this from Kaufman's commentary regarding Potiphar, says in the commentary, it was a custom in ancient pagan countries to require important officers working closely with the king's court to be castrated in order to minimize the possibility of their taking over the kingdom and finding their own dynasty. Here it seems that either Potiphar, who already appears married, had consented to be castrated in order to hold the office, or his wife married him for financial political reasons. Some eunuchs were known to have wives. So this could be just one possible reason why his wife wanted Joseph. So Joseph served Potiphar honorably and respectfully, and most importantly, the Lord was with him. This also means that Joseph served God in the same way, respectfully and honorably, and that he had found favor not only in Potiphar, but with God as well. But notice the word used in verse 4, overseer. Sounds familiar, doesn't it? It's a similar word used in the New Testament as bishop, a type of what? Servant. John Gill's exposition of the Bible in verse 4 says that Joseph served him in the attitude of readily, willingly, cheerfully, and faithfully, like a personal servant. This should be the same example and same attitude and same motivation in serving God and brethren. What a good example. I look at this example of Joseph that if I find favor in serving people, then I hope I found favor with God. Seeing others pitching in, setting up chairs, tables for potlucks or events, for me is a beautiful sight to behold. And for others, volunteers setting up the most important part for me, the food table. Even the musical contribution and the sound system people all adds to the Sabbath services in one purpose: worship, glorify God. I'm sure God is smiling above, hearing the beautiful music and voices we're all contributing. And not to forget the volunteers who do the kids' Sabbath school as well. Can't forget the little ones too. It's a beautiful sight that God sees everyone helping each other. As we all know, it takes effort. It's a mindset. It's an attitude to jump in, help each other out. It's nice when the young adults and even youth jump in and assist. You see that in camp examples, some of the older kids being counselors, activity leaders. But even if you can't serve, providing hugs and smiles always helps as well. One of the best servitude examples is demonstrated in John. So turn with me, please, in the New Testament. Let's go to John chapter 13. John 13, verses 16 and 17. We've heard about it. We've read about it. It was during the Passover season, which Christ himself was not only demonstrating what needs to happen, but setting an example for all to follow. John 13, verses 16 and 17. Most assuredly, I say to you, a servant is not greater than his master, nor is he who is sent greater than he who sent him. If you know these things, happy are you if you do them. Notice the last part. Notice verse 17. You will be blessed if you do them. It's not a thought. It's a required action. This action shows humility, even as we help each other out. Jesus was teaching his disciples that they should not hold themselves above performing such menial tasks. Unlike the Pharisees at that time, whom Christ criticized over and over because, what? Because they wanted their actions to be visible by all. They wanted the best seats. They wanted the attention. Christ even repeated this example of serving in Mark 10:43. Mark chapter 10, where he says that the great among them shall be their servant. And of course, he followed up this example by referring to himself, that he too came to serve and not to be served. I'd like to turn to my last scripture. 2 Corinthians chapter 8. 2 Corinthians chapter 8. It's about a young man. Paul is not only pleased, but proud with this young man, Titus, in his attitude in serving. I'm sure Paul gave a lot of encouragement to him as well. At the time, Paul was organizing and stirring up the local church in Corinth to take up a collection for the poor Christians and brethren in Jerusalem. He desired Titus to complete this good work among them, maybe because Paul couldn't be there or was on the road himself traveling. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verses 16. But thanks be to God, who puts the same earnest care for you into the hearts of Titus. For he not only accepted the exhortation, but being more diligent, he went to you of his own accord. And we have sent with him the brother whose praise is in the gospel throughout all the churches. And not only that, but who was also chosen by the churches to travel with us with this gift, which is administered by us to the glory of the Lord himself and to show your ready mind. So Titus came not only on Paul's urging, but with enthusiasm and of his own initiative. And notice verse 19, to show your ready mind. To show your ready mind. Some commentators explain this as an attitude of readiness to help. And of course, I would like to thank all of you who assist, help, and volunteer to make worshiping before God every Sabbath a delight. I know we all appreciate that. There's a lot of truth to the saying that heavy hands make light work. I would like to end with a poem. This poem I found a long time ago. The author is unknown, but it's called The Volunteer Poem. It's not for money, it's not for fame, it's not for any personal gain. It's just for love of fellow man, it's just to lend a helping hand. It's just to give a tithe of self, that's something you can't buy with wealth. It's not medals won with pride, it's for that feeling deep inside. It's that reward down in your heart. It's that feeling that you've been a part of helping others far and near that makes you be a volunteer.